Making TV special.
Nice. Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means? It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
This morning it was so. I knew the code from building. Where did you go? Where did you go? I've got to find some shelter. Cause any minute now, it's gonna blow. It's gonna blow. I got nothing to lose.
From Jarvis Cocker on this first day of spring, March 20th, 2009. And welcome to MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and the show. And this is the B-side of episode 115. And it looks like we're in for stormy weather as I come to you from my bedroom here in Portland, Oregon, taking the week off from the live Portland Radio Authority show as they've moved into a new space. I've not been in there. I have not seen the gear. I don't know how it works. I'm going to go in later today and get the lowdown. That, coupled with all the other things, brought me to the decision of basically putting the B-sides, at least weekly B-sides, to bed, or at least on the back burner for a while, because I think I need time to get my own house in order on a number of different levels, as you should probably as well. So one, I'm amazed at the support of even the B-sides and that Revere and some of the other stations that are awesome enough to rerun MediaMonarchy.com started running the B-sides as well. So what started it as something to just be able to cover all the crazy campaign season news turned into a regular thing. So I think I've been doing a weekly B-side since, I didn't check, but I believe it's somewhere around episode 85. So basically the end of last summer, so two shows a week. It's maybe gotten to be a little much, and I feel a little too kind of pinned in that I had to do it. So I'm going to back off for the time being. However, I would also rather be able to give you a few interviews and working on Media Monarchy minisodes. So I'd rather give you a few interviews and a video each month than an extra couple of hours of me running my mouth. But that's why we're here, so let's do it, as we have a massive amount of news to go over, and we're going to try and keep this to 2 hours so that this can run as the new Media Monarchy episode in the same two-hour slot, in lieu of episode 116. Blah, blah, blah. Let's get to the celebration.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Happy birthday, Iraq War, celebrating 6 years of death and destruction. So, a few reports, CNN, Danger Room, but 6 years later, progress and doubt, our legacy of Iraq War. 6 years ago, Thursday, that was yesterday on the 19th, but it was probably the 20th in the Middle East, I believe. Of course, March Equinox, always rituals. 6 years ago Thursday, then President George W. Bush appeared on television screens across America and somberly addressed the nation. My fellow citizens, at this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger. 6 years later, the conflict in Iraq drags on, with war-fatigued Americans shoving the military operation to the deep recesses of their psyches as they grapple with an economic crisis at home. Only 10% of voters questioned in exit polls during the November presidential elections picked the war as their top issue. 62% said the economy was. This is already one of the longest wars in American history. There's nothing new in Iraq, said Stephen Roberts, professor of media studies at George Washington University. We've read the stories of instability in the government 100 times. Every single possible story has been told, and there is enormous fatigue about Iraq. Then to Danger Room, Iraq 6 years in. They go over basically some of their diary entries from Noah Shachman and some of the other guys that write for Danger Room on Wired. So you can check out their comments, the photos, the diary entries, and stories with titles like Captain America in the Forever War. But what ties in with all this, if we hit independent.co.uk, secret emails show Iraq dossier was sexed up. I want to set you up. Secret White Hall emails released a few days ago provide damning new evidence that the notorious dossier making the case for invading Iraq was, quote, sexed up. They disclosed that the intelligence services were skeptical over the, quote, iffy drafting of government claims that Saddam Hussein could mount a missile strike on his neighbors within 45 minutes of ordering an attack. And there are links there, and you can read about iffy drafting and sexed up secret White Hall emails detailing the dodgy dossier. And of course, the flashback link, worldwide protests marked the 5th anniversary of Iraq War, back to March 2008 on MediaMonarchy.com. And it still boils on with military adventurism and war provocations worldwide. So just this morning, Friday, March Equinox, we discover, and again from Danger Room, that a U.S. ship and sub have collided in the Strait of Hormuz near Iran. two U.S. Navy vessels, a nuclear-powered fast-attack submarine, and an amphibious transport dock collided this morning in the Strait of Hormuz, which runs between Iran and the Arabian Peninsula. According to a news release from the U.S. Fifth Fleet in Manama, Bahrain, this submarine, USS Hartford, collided with the amphibious ship USS New Orleans at around 1 a.m. local time. 15 sailors aboard the Hartford were described as being slightly injured, but they all returned to duty. No injuries were reported aboard the New Orleans, but that this ship suffered a ruptured fuel tank, spilling 25,000 gallons of diesel fuel. This is not the first incident involving the USS Hartford. The boat ran aground in 2003 while performing maneuvers off Sardinia. The vessel was put out of commission for several months and two Navy officers were relieved of command. I swiped a video from Pentagon.mil news service and posted it up to youtube.com/mediamonarchy, but we're not going to have time for that clip. As, again, sidebar mention here, trying to keep the episode to 2 hours, there may be clips that I intend to play that when I'm cobbling and editing this show together, I may have to cut, so bear with any kind of cut and paste. But that's what you'd expect from the Media Monarchy. Links in there, of course, to lots of .mil pages and lots of Wikipedia pages. So there you have it. U.S. ship and sub collide in Straits of Hormuz near Iran. Just another latest incident, as we've seen this amazing re-ratcheting up of this bullshit talk about Iran that seemed to pretty much be over with. However, as soon as they started talking about it and as soon as they started putting the idea about it, we see more of these events. And again, we see submarines colliding and satellites supposedly colliding and the International Space Station and just lots of mil-tech shenanigans going on. I'm sorry to do it, but once again, I had to post up a news purge. Long-time listeners and followers of the site will know that I bookmark lots of feeds, and when I get in over my head, I just post them all up as links and headlines, and here I can't really do justice to all of them. So this is the 320 news purge, and it's very important, and again, I don't like not being able to do these stories justice, but anymore there is so much. I think I need to maybe take a step back and figure out how wide I've been swinging my net. But I digress again. The 320 News Purge starts out with the Obamasiah and the Apostles of War. We're going to hit an amazing list of headlines here, and again, I'm not doing them justice, and I implore you to check them out. Michael Savage Wiener predicts a Reichstag fire-like event. Here we have yet another prominent right-wing talking head now taking on the talk of the supposed fringe. Remember, we were all fringe, crazy conspiracy theorists during the Bush administration. But now it's switched, and it's the phony left-right paradigm. It's interesting to see how a lot of middle-aged, middle America, you know, parent-type folk, are against Obama. They can see the fraud, maybe not in the full spectrum, but at least on its face. They can see it easily, but now the young people are completely in thrall in Obama-rama. However, a few years ago, the young people could look at Bush and knew that he was a fraud on his fucking face. But middle-aged, middle America couldn't get it, and they voted for him twice in some cases. The phony left-right paradigm keeps the thing propped up against each other. But Michael Wiener Savage is talking about false flag terrorism, where Hitler bombed the Reichstag to pass the Enabling Act to bring about tyranny. We had another Reichstag event here in 9/11. We passed the Patriot Act and expanded global tyranny. Here we have right-wing talking head, and again, we've talked about Glenn Beck, basically now sounding like a conspiracy theorist. They're probably co-opting the message. And this is really fascinating. And again, I think a lot of this is in no small part to the alternative media. They can't escape it. So here we come. Cheney, the first mention, of course, is that he says, you know, Obama will be responsible for the next 9/11. This was in his big gag fest on the Sunday talk shows just this last Sunday. However, we know, and we, I believe, mentioned once, of course, the assassination ring that Cy Hirsch dropped the bombshell on, the supposed bombshell, although in the past I've posited, of course, you know, Cy Hirsch, he's busted open a lot of the most important news stories of the last several decades. He's indispensable. However, is it possible he's the front guy meant to shine the light on certain things we're supposed to focus on? The somewhat limited hangout shit will burn the lower people. Will burn the party going out. Even though it still carries on to this administration and the next administration. Kucinich requests investigation into Cheney's executive assassination ring. There's more than a few links and stories into there. Cheney assassination unit claim boost Truth Commission prospects. That's from the Examiner, and of course that's referencing this Leahy Truth Commission. That hopefully, even though it will of course have its whitewash elements, we know that from lots of other committees in the past, they may not blow everything open, but we learn about assassination units from the church committee and all the other horrible other things. The last official word from the U.S. government on the assassination of John F. Kennedy is that there probably was a conspiracy. That's, I believe, from the House Select Committee on Assassinations. But again, I digress. Winter Patriot says, though, and puts it rightly, that Hirsch puts the pro-war spin on what we would normally call acts of terrorism. Screwed again. Obama caves to Israel lobby. That's from Global Research. Another arrest in the D.C. tech office scam. That's from the Washington Post. And speaking of the Washington Post, Consortium News notes that it's a neocon propaganda sheet. And you should go down the shit list and you will be impressed and depressed. So I just mentioned previously to that another arrest in DC tech office scam. There's so much here, and again, with Clyde Lewis on the previous episode on 115, I of course had all that week's news that I could have gone over but didn't get to. So there's a lot of things here I may be reading updates to that we haven't actually officially covered the story on MediaMonarchy.com, but you can figure it out. Of course, the Obama administration notes that the Constitution does not protect cell site records. Leaked International Red Cross report on CIA torture. Obama faces shoot-down dilemma with the North Korea launch. That's from SpaceWar.com. And, of course, Obama may widen the drone war over Pakistan. That's from Danger Room. U.S. lawmakers appeal to Obama against Afghan troop surge. That's, of course, where they wrote a letter and said, man, don't do it. But meanwhile, according to the Obamasiah, they're considering expanding the security force. They at least bandied this idea about of busting it up to 400,000. There is an impressive and, again, depressive leadership review of the Barack Obama administration, and that's from August Review, and that's a PDF for you. And again, running down the list of all the CFR, Bilderberg, Trilateral, Brookings, Rockefeller, Globalists that are all still in power. Some of their faces kind of change and they swap around and some of the younger people move up, but it's all coming down from the round tables and from the pyramid. Media reports for duty as militarists plan more wars. Another great article from Chris Floyd. A video from Raw Story and Raw Replay, convicted rapists allowed to enlist in the military. We've covered that for many, 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 many months on MediaMonarchy.com. Whether you're a convicted rapist or a gangbanger or perhaps even illegal, they still want you in the military. Obama's call for longer school days raises questions. That's from Kansas.com as well. We note that the House passed yesterday a mandatory national service bill. And of course, finally on the Obamasiah and the Apostles of War, Obama's forced servitude agenda moves forward. A new original article from Lee Rogers at RogueGovernment.com. The push towards a mandatory national service took another step, with the U.S. House of Representatives voting in favor of the Generations Invigorating Volunteerism and Education Act, otherwise known as the GIVE Act. The bill was passed 321-105 with a similar bill working its way through the Senate called the Serve America Act, both with links for you to GovTrack. It seems clear that a national service bill in some form will be passed into law. National service is, of course, a major part of Obama's incremental agenda to implement a global prison system of total dehumanization and enslavement. The GIVE Act will set up a commission to explore the prospect of mandatory national service, indicating yet another small step towards their great dream of involuntary forced government servitude. Again, the GIVE Act and the Serve America Act. National service, Obama's forced servitude agenda moves forward. Looking at EnviroHealth from Raw Story, the judge says that, of course, it's okay for the Navy to spray recruits in the face with banned chemicals, you know, testing them. Alternet, on their health and wellness page, notes Burt's Bees, Tom's of Maine, Naked Juice. Take another look at your favorite brands. And, of course, we'll just throw out that Clorox owns Burt's Bees now. H.R. 875 and S. 425 are the two sister food fascism bills that are also racing through Congress. So we just cover the National Service bills, the GIVE Act through the House of Representatives, and the Serve America Act going through the Senate. Now we have H.R. 875 going through the House and 425 through the Senate. Farm-to-fork food fascism comes to America. That is a note from globalhealthfreedom.org by way of blacklistednews.com. America's Medicated Army from Time Magazine. Suspicion of vaccine spurs debate and worry from the Associated Press. Pushing eugenics as smart science. That's from opposingviews.com. And marketskeptics.com has the frightening article about the catastrophic fall in 2009 global food production. Another sidebar note, I have more or less launched foodworldorder.com. I've posted a couple things there. They've been mostly about new recession gardens or victory gardens. And, of course, now the Obamas getting out in front. And Michelle Obama today breaking ground on the White House garden. So I'm mentioning it, so let's head over there. Foodworldorder.com right now. White House to break ground on kitchen garden from the Associated Press. The White House is getting a new garden. First Lady Michelle Obama is scheduled to break ground Friday, today, March Equinox, March 20th, 2009, on a new garden near the fountain on the South Lawn that will supply the White House kitchen. She'll be joined by students from Bancroft Elementary School in the District of Criminals. The children will stay involved with the project, including planting the fruits, vegetables, and herbs in the coming weeks and harvesting the crops later in the year. Skipping down. Victory Gardens were vegetable gardens planted during the World Wars with encouragement from the government to make sure there was enough food for civilians and the troops. Recent White Houses have grown some herbs and have practiced limited container gardening on the mansion's roof to supply it with tomatoes, peppers, and other vegetables. The new garden will be the first on the White House grounds in many decades. Links in there to stories from FastCompany.com. And again, that's one of the new sister sites on this crazy media monarchy umbrella I'm unfurling. But back to the 320 news purge and back to some history mystery headlines. Oswald's 1953 school transfer card flunks out on eBay. Nobody bought it, but that's from New York Daily News. And a bunch of stuff about Nazis by way, mostly, again, thanks to Alex Constantine, Nazi origins of Adidas and Puma documented in new book, also from businessweek.com. U.S. firms that backed Hitler revealed, that's from the Tri-City Herald, how many Nazi criminals did Germany punish in 60 years? That's the question being asked by Haaretz. Deep Roots of Nazi Science revealed, and again, those last few from alexconstantine.blogspot.com. Billionaire philanthropist Leonore Annenberg dies at 91. And again, we always watch the elite obituaries. Annenberg, of course, being of the great foundations. And of course, Chicago and the Annenberg Challenge and Barack Obama. Albuquerque's mysterious mass grave, that's from Time magazine, and that looks to be some strange, perhaps serial killer, or at least mass killing, as again, it's the time of the season for that. However, the last few headlines here under History Mystery, we've seen, again, as we just mentioned, the foundations and the foundation fundings and the phony left brigades. A lot of chatter in the last few days about a lot of the 70s so-called radicals. So, ex-70s radical freed from prison, and this is Sarah Jane Olson. So, we've got one from the Washington Times. One-time fugitive released 30 years after attempted police bombings. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. And cannonfire.blogspot.com, the great and persnickety blog from Joseph Cannon. He has a great article about the SLA, the Symbionese Liberation Army, or a pseudo-gang. Again, we don't have time to go down the hole on this one right here. Again, the links are there. Check it out yourself. There's always foundation funding, and there's always infiltration by people who are on the record as having been informants in the past and infiltrating other groups, and they somehow always miraculously avoid the explosions and the bloody shootouts that kill everybody else in the pseudo-gang. But the Symbionese Liberation Army, you should know, are the ones that kidnapped Patty Hearst. What really smacked me upside the head and told me that this was a meme, you can finally, again, connect the dots, data mining. Photo of Charles Manson is released by prison officials. This from the Los Angeles Times. California corrections officials released a photograph taken Wednesday of aging convicted mass murderer Charles Manson, replete with receding hairline, fading forehead, swastika carving, and a thick, heavily graying beard. The photograph of the 74-year-old cult leader was taken at Corcoran State Prison, where he's serving a life sentence, and is part of periodic updates of inmate images by prison officials, said Terry Thornton, a spokeswoman for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitations. The 40th anniversary of the Manson killings is in August. Manson and other members of his so-called family were convicted of killing actress Sharon Tate and six other people during a bloody rampage in the Los Angeles area during two August nights in 1969. Prosecutors said that Manson and his followers were trying to incite a race war that he believed was prophesied in the Beatles song Helter Skelter. Tate, the wife of director Roman Polanski, was 8.5 months pregnant when she was killed at her hilltop home in Benedict Canyon on August 9, 1969. Besides Tate, four others were stabbed to death: J. Sebring, Wojtek Frykowski, Abigail Folger, and Stephen Parent. The word pig, of course, was written on the front door in blood, and the next night Manson rode along with his followers to the Los Feliz home of La Bianca, then left free to kill the couple. Manson has made 11 failed bids for parole since 1978. The last, in 2007, was when he was ordered to continue serving the life sentences. Manson's next parole hearing is scheduled for 2012. Jumping to geopolitics, dead Bin Laden urges jihad. That's from InfoWars, where they make the good editor's note of all the times that, of course, oh, there's a new message, but we have no way of confirming it and can't. We just say it's Bin Laden, and you believe it. U.S. jet shoots down Iranian drone over Iraq. Again, beating the strange Iran war drums. That's from Danger Room. The shoe-throwing journalist, the shoe heard round the world. He gets 3 years in prison. That's from Russia Today. Military chopper crashes into the Atlantic off of Canada. That's from The Guardian. A 5.0 magnitude earthquake hit central China. U.S. warships head for South China Sea after a standoff. And of course, that's where each side said, "You're provoking shit." That's from the Times Online. Japan warns it may shoot down North Korean satellite launcher, as we, of course, noted a few moments ago that Obama's thinking about what is he going to do about this North Korean satellite shit. That's from The Guardian. Military ready to shoot down North Korean missile. That's from military.com. New generation of power stations risk terrorist anarchy, says The Guardian. And global research, as well as a video from, I believe, Russia Today. Washington plans global NATO to replace United Nations. We had the League of Nations after World War I. We got the United Nations after World War II. We'll get God knows what when we get World War III. Two last notes. Of course, Israel's ex-president was indicted for rape, and that's from the agency French Presse. No big deal. And more provocative words, at least seemingly, from the president of Bolivia, Evo Morales. He's, of course, previously kicked out the DEA for saying they help run drugs, which they've been busted for time and time again in the phony fucking drug war. But now he's noting that army and police have CIA contacts. This from the Associated Press. Bolivian President Evo Morales is once again accusing the CIA of meddling in internal affairs. This time, Morales says a mid-level military official and Bolivian police officers are in contact with the U.S. spy agency. Morales made the allegations last Saturday but offered no details or proof. He said he is personally investigating the matter because selling information to foreign agents is treason. Morales spoke just days after ordering a U.S. diplomat to leave Bolivia. He accused the diplomat of conspiring with the opposition and coordinating contacts with a former police captain accused of infiltrating the state energy company on behalf of the CIA. U.S. has, of course, called the allegations about CIA infiltration baseless. A couple notes on the Econo crash, an article and a video where, of course, the Honorable Dr. Ron Paul points out that all this AIG bullshit, misdirected rage is all kind of beside the point because taxing bonuses is perhaps an unconstitutional outrage. Video and article from Raw Story and Raw Replay, and also from Reuters, we note that the United Nations panel says that the world should probably ditch the dollar. Out of Luxembourg, a UN panel will next week recommend that the world ditch the dollar as its reserve currency in favor of a shared basket of currencies, a member of the panel said on Wednesday, 2 days ago, adding to pressure on the dollar. Ditch the dollar. The last two notes here on the 320 News Purge are Oregon oddities. Oregon boy banned from wearing Obama mask in a skit. This coming from the Oregonian, and of course I giggle at it, but it is something interesting that we haven't had to deal with in quite this way before, where masks and things, where we're now dealing with, oh wait, that's perhaps racially questionable, and weird masks and cartoons and all that kind of stuff. The other Oregon oddity is, of course, Peter DeFazio getting into some kind of fuss, although, again, according to the Oregonian, DeFazio swears he did not raise a security fuss at PDX. There are videos, and even, actually, I flipped past on the channel and saw him talking live on the news about this supposed TSA tussle he had at the Portland International Airport here, PDX. In making his defense, he says, I'm one of the guys that helped set up the TSA. As if that's something to be proud of. Again, the hardworking lefties fake a move to the left and then go to the right. But as long as we're on Oregon oddities, we're going to jump back a little bit. This is posted up March 11th on the page. Oregon oddities, bank bombs, embezzlement, and Kim Wars. It's an update on the strange bank bombing. Remember the bank bombing where the two Oregon cops were killed after they brought the bomb inside the bank? That was this last December in Woodburn, Oregon. Now, federal charges are considered in the Oregon bank bombing.
New at 11, the Woodburn police chief, critically wounded in a bank bombing that killed two police officers, is out of the hospital tonight. We learned a short time ago, police chief Scott Russell was released from OHSU. He's been moved to a care facility where he will undergo physical therapy for several weeks. The blast on December 12th of last year killed an Oregon state trooper and a Woodburn police captain. Today, the U.S. Attorney's Office announced the creation of a task force to see if any federal charges will be brought against the father and son suspects, Joshua and Bruce Turnage.
Court records obtained by KGW suggest the two Oregon men charged in connection with the deadly bank bombing in December often talked about robbing a bank and even predicted, or rather practiced, a dry run in Woodburn in 1994. Bruce Turnage and his son Joshua Turnage are facing aggravated murder charges for the December 12th blast that killed a police officer, a state trooper, and critically injured a police chief. According to a police affidavit, a family friend, Ronald Laughlin, stated that he heard Bruce, Joshua, and another family member who has not been charged in the case, quote, speak so often about robbing banks that it became like white noise. Often, Laughlin said they'd discuss methods of robbery, including diversions. Laughlin described the men as constitutionalists and anti-government. Again, bringing home the meme, now that the Dems are in, of homegrown terrorism. And that's a theme we're going to hit repeatedly as we bust through this episode. Oregon soldier stole $700,000 in cash from an Iraqi relief fund. This is from the Belfast Telegraph. Wads of $100 bills mailed from Iraq to Oregon first made investigators suspect the U.S. Army captain, charged with stealing almost $700,000 while serving in Iraq, was pilfering from a U.S. government emergency fund. Captain Michael Dung Nguyen, N-G-U-Y-E-N, was put in charge of the money when he served as a civil affairs officer for his battalion between April 07 and June 08. Links in there to read about more Army corruption from the Oregonian and the now defunct print, only living online, as we see older media sometimes die, sometimes metamorphize. Seattle Post-Intelligencer. However, more from the Oregonian, Oregon veteran disabled by Iraq's Agent Orange. The soldiers worried about Saddam Hussein's loyalists. They weren't worried about the dust. Dust that coated the Oregon Army National Guardsmen's combat boots and caked their skin as they protected Halliburton KBR contractors restoring oil flow in Iraq in 2003. Dust poofed from the soldiers' uniforms as they crowded into vans at the end of the day and shared tents at night. When the dust blew in and on to Specialist Larry Roberta's ready-to-eat meal, he rinsed the chicken patty with his canteen water and ate it. 6 months later, doctors discovered the flap in Roberta's stomach had disintegrated. 6 years later, the Marine and former police officer can no longer walk to the mailbox or work. Another Oregon soldier, Sergeant Nicholas Thomas, died of complications of leukemia at 21. Three others have reported lung problems to headquarters. Five more told the Oregonian they suffered chronic coughs, rashes, and immune system disorders. The same Oregon Guard soldiers who went into Iraq without adequate body armor or up-armored Humvees face another dubious first, exposure to hexavalent chromium, which of course greatly increases their risk of cancer and other diseases. It was in the orange and yellow dust spread over the Karmat Ali water treatment plant by fleeing Saddam supporters. Scientists call the carcinogen a Trojan horse because the damage may not be immediately obvious. Over time, people can develop different cancers, breathing problems, stomach ulcers, or damage to the digestive tract. This is our Agent Orange, says Scott Ashby, who served in the Oregon Guard. Links in there to other stories about, and I'm not sure where I posted it up, of course, recently the Supreme Court denied any new settlements for people who suffered from the original Agent Orange, both veterans and even Vietnamese. What I want to check out very quickly, as I click buttons and load pages, so bear with me, we want to know, of course, Agent Orange. And even you just hit up the Wikipedia page, you only have to scan down a little bit and see that, of course, Dow Chemical, Monsanto, and Diamond Shamrock have all been involved in the creation of Agent Orange. Again, fuck you very much, Monsanto. We briefly mentioned the U.S. troop movement spotted in Beaverton, Oregon. That, again, comes from Portland Indie Media. And again, not much to go on, but it's happening all over. So that does it for those Oregon oddities. Let's look at my home state, my origin state, with some West Virginia worry, slurry, and mercury. First, from Raw Story, West Virginia lawmaker drinks a bottle of coal slurry to highlight the plight of his constituents.
As we say, it was a toxic toast to try to send a powerful message.
Tim, one lawmaker had a lot of people wondering what's exactly in the water. As he drank up and asked other senators to join in, News Channel 3's Callie Card is here. Callie, no one took him up on that dirty offer. No, Jessica, that's because the water looked like this, and Senator Randy White said it was coal slurry, but that didn't stop him from taking a sip.
By the way, we had that water brought in special for you folks.
Stolen from a scene in a popular movie, straight to the set floor.
My colleagues, today you have on your desk a bottle of that unknown water.
A taste test for lawmakers challenging them to take a sip of what Senator Randy White says some West Virginians are drinking every day.
I ask you to raise your glass and join me in what they drink that we drink today.
White survived this week of flurry, revealing his secret that it was actually a safe concoction. But still sending home the message that the unknown is frightening.
It was an unknown substance, just like the folks down in Printer and Rawls and Jones Branch throughout West Virginia. These people are drinking water with unknown toxins in it.
An unknown that should have been known 15 months ago. That's when the Department of Environmental Protection was supposed to release a report analyzing the impact of coal slurry or waste on groundwater. But three deadlines have now come and gone, and White is calling for a moratorium on slurry injection until they find out what's in the water.
Telling DEP to get off their duff and get busy, because, you know, there are people out there that their very lives and their future health may very well depend on what they do.
A drink to help the health of the Mountain State.
Now, White didn't say exactly what it was that he drank, only that it was a special home brew. Jessica, his bill was introduced in the Senate today to stop slurry injection. It now goes on to the committee.
All right, Callie. Now, there are 15 slurry injection sites throughout the state, and the Natural Resources Defense Council just named West Virginia as one of the 15 filthiest states for the amount of coal ash. Ohio and Kentucky were also on the list.
West Virginia State Senator made a statement about the quality of his constituents' drinking water by drinking a bottle of what he called coal slurry on the Senate floor. There's, of course, more to read from journalnews.net, thinkprogress.org, WSAZ, as well as Daily Mail. Lots of local West Virginia press getting national coverage. One update on that story from the Examiner. Independent lab tests say that metals are in the coal slurry. West Virginians eager to know what's in the slurry that coal companies pump into worked-out underground mines will have to wait until May for the state's answers, but preliminary independent tests suggest it contains heavy metals they wouldn't want to drink. The last bit of West Virginia worry slurry, it's the mercury. West Virginia mercury releases focus of planned lawsuit. Two environmental groups have put PPG Industries on notice that they intend to sue over mercury releases into the Ohio River from a West Virginia plant. The West Virginia Rivers Coalition at wvrivers.org and the Washington, D.C.-based group Oceana.org. Aren't they at war with East Asia? the West Virginia Rivers Coalition and the Washington, D.C.-based group Oceana filed a 60-day notice of intent to sue on Monday against PPG's Natrium plant. And you can hit the link and see the entry from PPG.com about the Wetzel County Natrium plant. The notice was filed pursuant to the Federal Clean Water Act. In a letter to company officials, the group said the Wetzel County plant continues to release mercury at levels exceeding its waste discharge permit. The plant produces chlorine by pumping salt water through vats of pure mercury. Mercury is a neurotoxin that accumulates in fish. Ingesting mercury can cause nerve and brain damage to pregnant women, women of childbearing age, and young children. Mercury can also lead to kidney damage in children. But you should still take your shots. I played the clip last week with Clyde of course, Ronald Reagan, on at least two occasions, talking about wouldn't it be great if aliens came down and we'd kumbaya and unite against the international threat. But let's go over the post in full. The coming cyber war and space war is in your face more. And again, both those videos and links for Uncle Ronnie are there for you. A few notes, and again, I believe I've noted and mentioned that I've been following some of the exopolitics sub-blogs on Examiner.com. That, again, more and more, Examiner.com is kind of an interesting, seemingly kind of open-source place, and I may have to look into it more. So there is interesting, a bit of ufology, and again, I don't put a whole lot of stock in aliens running around. There are UFOs, but I don't think it's aliens. There's a lot of okey-dokes going on. But the meme is there, and I think they're prepping us for something. So that's why we pay attention. Exposing U.S. government policy on extraterrestrial life, and or could the Truth Commission, the Leahy Truth Commission, expose some 9/11 and UFO secrets? Those both from Exopolitics Examiner. The Seattle Exopolitics Examiner, we're going to go into this one for a moment. Will there be a wild card event worldwide in 2012 or beyond? Or will there be wild card events, plural? There's converging objective, predictive evidence, expert opinion, exopolitical policy analysis, and extraterrestrial contactee communications supporting a hypothesis that large-scale wild-card events, including mass extraterrestrial UFO sightings or landings over major urban or other visible centers on the planet for peaceful purposes, may occur during the period leading up to 2011 and 2012 or beyond. In future studies, John Peterson, author of Out of the Blue, How to Anticipate Big Future Surprises, defines wild card events as low probability, high impact events that, were they to occur, would severely impact the human condition. Are they prepping us for a War of the Worlds Project Bluebeam Rapture PSYOP? UFOs and Obama memo on scientific integrity. Again, more from one of the exopolitics examiners. And again, we've noted this many times with Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero Lounge. A lot of the seemingly behind-the-scenes things going on with Obama and NASA and the military and Holder and Hillary. But as we note from Space.com as well as Space Flight Now, Phoenix Mars lander found liquid water, some scientists think. During its more than 5-month stint on Mars last year, NASA's Phoenix Mars lander found evidence that liquid water existed at the spacecraft's landing site, some Phoenix team members say. Water is key to all life forms, all forms of life as we know it, and the discovery of liquid water would suggest a greater opportunity for biology on the red planet. The Ides of March, the rise of Mars. The new but controversial conclusion comes from observations of a set of little globules attached to struts on the lander's legs that were photographed by Phoenix's robotic arm camera over the course of the mission. Photos and links in there for you to check out the globules. Spacecraft searches for other Earths as Boeing and the U.S. Army collaborate on space and missile defense research. The last one from aviationnews.eu, and the first one from the Washington Times. From the Associated Press, Obama says cloning dangerous and wrong. We did go over this. I did read this with Clyde last week. From the Associated Press, President Obama says human cloning is, quote, dangerous, profoundly wrong, and that it has no place in society. Obama made the comments as he was signing an executive order that will, of course, allow federal spending on embryonic stem cell research. Some critics say the research can lead to human cloning. Obama said the Gov will develop strict guidelines for the research because misuse or abuse is unacceptable. He said it would ensure that the government never opens the door to the use of cloning for human reproduction. And, of course, we probably can guess that a human clone has been made. Conservatives called Obama's stem cell decision a waste of money. That's from politicsusa.com. From threat level, Obama declares IP treaty as a national security secret. President Obama came into office in January promising a new era of openness. But now, like Bush before him, Obama is playing the national security card to hide details of the controversial anti-counterfeiting trade agreement being negotiated across the globe. There is a PDF from ustr.gov to read more about the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement. If ratified, leaked documents posted on WikiLeaks.org and other comments suggest the proposed trade accord would criminalize peer-to-peer file sharing, subject iPods to border searches, and allow internet service providers to monitor their customers' communications. And again, download the PDF. It's a little 36K PDF. And again, get the documents. G8, Plurilateral Intellectual Property Trade Agreement Discussion Paper. Again, amazing work, thanks to WikiLeaks.org. White House urged to stop cyber attacks. That's from USA Today and from TechRadar.com. BBC hacked into thousands of computers. The BBC deliberately hacked into 22,000 PCs to prove the power of botnets and the damage that can be done with a network of compromised computers. Click BBC News' technology program with the help of antivirus company Prevex, PREVX.com, took over thousands of computers in order to demonstrate a growing problem in the modern world. Botnets are networks of computers that have been compromised by cybercriminals and can be used to launch distributed denial of service attacks on servers, or most commonly, to send out the deluge of spam that lands in world's inboxes daily. But getting back to space, Russian astronauts complete spacewalk. That's from Russia Today, and again, all these things converge. As we saw the satellites collide a couple weeks ago, was that the debris we saw flying and through the Texas sky? Subs colliding, ships and subs colliding off the coast of Iran. Lots of crashes and international military technology, space war shenanigans going on. So we had the Discovery launch that was going to happen on 3/11, but they postponed it and did it a few days later. But there was the story of having to briefly abandon the International Space Station. So right after, I believe, Russian astronauts complete spacewalk, they evacuated the International Space Station because there was a close call with some debris. And, of course, the supposition and the question is it debris from the recent satellite collision? That's the conspiracy theory. So, more from Russia Today, more from Breitbart.com. ISS space junk incident wasn't life-threatening. Space junk threat worried space station. And then space debris threatened the ISS, from Wikinews. Then astronauts temporarily evacuated. That's from Wikinews. And then space station junk threat passes, from the Washington Times. But again, The report from Russia Today, neither the lives of the ISS crew members nor the operation of the station were endangered by a space junk incident, according to Yuri Karash, Russian space policy expert.
We'll put this latest incident into perspective. I'm now joined in the studio by a Russian space policy expert, Yuri Karash. And Mr. Karash, thank you so much for joining us. How serious was this incident?
I wouldn't exaggerate the seriousness of this incident. As far as we know, the outer hull of the space station was damaged, but the inner hull wasn't penetrated and the space station wasn't depressurized. So it wasn't as serious as, for example, in 1997 when Progress spacecraft slammed into the space station near, seriously damaging one of the modules and depressurizing the space station. Well, back then it was a really life-threatening situation and the crew all had to evacuate the station. So what happened there, I wouldn't call it really an evacuation, it was a pre-evacuation. The crew was ready to evacuate, but it did not separate, it did not abandon the space station.
Discovery's 311 launch was, of course, postponed. That link to Washington Times. They did it, I believe, on 315. FloridaToday.com notes that if they got the valve fixed. And Obama notes that NASA is suffering a, quote, sense of drift. That's from aero-news.net. We will, I believe, somewhere in this crazy episode get to some of those updates, but some of the last few things on the coming cyber war and space war in your face more. Fox admits to greenwashing popular TV shows. This is not one to really brush over, but we have to. There's some sort of seemingly internal promotional video that talks about Fox and how they insert phony global warming propaganda into all your favorite shows and even some of mine, like The Simpsons, which I'm going to get into more in the coming weeks. Sunshade global cooling plan would ruin solar power. That's from theregister.co.uk, and it's the funny thing where they want to put up this sort of sunshade. Again, kind of like Mr. Burns blocking out the sun to, you know, halt some global warming. However, oh shit, our solar panels won't work then. It's like a solar-powered flashlight. Screen door and submarine. New report lays waste to Army's future, that of course being FCS, Future Combat Systems. That's from Danger Room, as well from Danger Room, the awesomely bad Future Combat miniseries, and a Future Combat Systems completes integrated mission test -1 from spacewar.com. Of course, the Air Force has signed on to DARPA's all-seeing blimp. Again from Danger Room, and again, they've had the blimps. They had them over the 04 RNC in New York where they came to grandstand at Ground Zero. But again, they're announcing it to you. They have it set up a long time ago. These blimps that can stay up for pretty much 10 years and spy on everything round the clock. Army builds electronic warfare teams. That's from military.com. Researchers use brain scans to read memories from The Guardian. And an interesting note, and I'm not exactly sure why I posted it down here, but from the Christian Science Monitor, the coming evangelical collapse. I believe I did it because it ties in with what I think will be the Blue Beam War of the Worlds PSYOP rapture event. So an update now on the space war, another posting. Discovery nears space station as the debris nears too.
More news today. The space shuttle Discovery and its 7-strong crew have shot up into orbit. The shuttle's on its way to the International Space Station to complete a construction mission there. The launch was postponed for more than a month because of several technical glitches. The Discovery's mission will last for 13 days and include 3 spacewalks.
2, 1... Lift off from Space Shuttle Discovery, taking the space station to full power for full science.
Discovery roll program.
Run and roll, Discovery.
Discovery's roll maneuver is complete and is now in a heads down position on track for its flight to the International Space Station. One and a half miles in altitude, 7 miles downrange from the Kennedy Space Center. Discovery's engines are throttling down as the orbiter passes through the area of maximum pressure on the vehicle.
Thank you.
Discovery, go and throttle up.
From the Associated Press, seven astronauts race to the International Space Station aboard Space Shuttle Discovery on Monday while NASA debated whether the orbiting outpost will need to move aside to dodge part of an old Soviet satellite. So they're saying it's an old Soviet satellite, not the new recent satellite collision debris. Space Station astronauts had a close call last week with a small piece of orbiting junk, and NASA said Monday that debris from a satellite that broke apart in 1981 could come within about a half mile of the station early Tuesday. NASA will decide later Monday and did decide whether to fire the space station's engines to nudge the complex out of the path of the debris. I have not paid much more attention to the Discovery once it blasted off. However, the last update I do have is debris near the space station was bigger than reported. This from Reuters. The piece of orbital space junk that forced three astronauts to briefly evacuate the International Space Station last Thursday was bigger than originally reported. The object, identified as a piece of rocket engine that flew in 93... Oh, well, which is it? Russian satellite from 81 or the rocket from 93? It was about 5 inches in diameter, not 0.35 inches. Had it struck one of the pressurized modules aboard the $100 billion space station, the crew would only have 10 minutes of air. Now, we of course have the U.S. military confirming it shot down the Iranian drone. We had the headline there in the 320 News Purge just a little bit ago. But again, from Danger Room last month, a U.S. fighter aircraft tracked and shot down an Iranian drone. Details first reported by Danger Room have been elusive, but the U.S. military has now confirmed the incident. Multinational Forces Iraq spokesman Colonel Scott Maul tells Danger Room that coalition fighters intercepted an Iranian unmanned aerial vehicle over Iraq airspace on February 27th. The UAV, an Ababil 3, was tracked as it crossed the border. Coalition aircraft were sent up to visually ID the drone. Finally, they did, and then shot it down over 25 miles from the Iraq-Iran border. All told, the UAV was tracked for an hour and 10 minutes before it was shot down. Major General Abdul Aziz Mohammed Yassim, head of military operations at the Iraqi Defense Ministry, also confirmed the incident, telling Reuters. An unmanned Iranian plane crossed the border, and it was discovered by multinational forces radar. They intercepted it and brought it down. An American plane brought it down. According to Jassim, the incursion was most likely a mistake. Initially, coalition press officials would neither confirm nor deny the incident. But the presence of Iranian drones over Iraq and the confirmation of the shootdown raise new questions about Tehran's unmanned aircraft abilities and its intentions. We'll, of course, note that our intentions are to play Iran off of other nations to get to the big bear. We're going to shift gears here. And again, I don't have time to do it justice, but if you find this at least half as fascinating and bizarre as I do, I know you'll want to do the research and follow the money, follow your nose. It's the nose that knows. On the always suspicious mass shooters. Again, we're going to have to hurry through these, but there are lots of links and lots of videos and lots of reference materials. First, jumping back to Tuesday, March 10th, Illinois church shooter's lawyer blames Lyme disease, which of course was created with the help of the Plum Island Biolab. Again, read Lab 257. Plum Island helped Lyme disease along. All the funky diseases, they create them in labs, and whoops, they get out during a drill or an accident. So this was the one that kicked off our new copycat Eyes of March, April school shooting, mass shooting, Manchurian candidate sprees. Illinois church shooter's lawyer blames Lyme disease. Originally from the Bellevue News Democrat, Terry Sedlacek, and I've heard it pronounced in different ways, Sedlacek, or Sedlak, S-E-D-L-A-C-E-K, Terry Sedlicek's mental condition was deteriorating as a result of Lyme disease, his attorney said within hours of Sedlicek being charged with murdering a pastor. The attorney also issued an apology on behalf of the suspect's family. They're very sorry for the pastor's congregation, said Edwardsville defense attorney Ron Slimmer, who has been hired by Terry Sedlicek's family to represent him. They want to express his sympathy for everyone. Of course, skipping down a little bit. The Reverend Fred Winters, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Maryville, was shot to death on Sunday morning, which would have been March 8th, during Sunday morning worship service. Sedlicek had been charged with murdering him and stabbing two congregation members who subdued him. Slimmer said Sedlicek has Lyme disease from getting bitten by a tick several years ago, and that his physical and mental health have suffered as a result. That's what it's all attributed to so far. You can see how he's deteriorated over the years. They've struggled with this. I just know that it's caused his body to physically deteriorate and also his mental condition. However, before we check out the clip, and we'll mention the flashbacks, of course, that accidents at Plum Island Disease Lab acknowledged. That's back from April on 2008, MediaMonarchy.com. And, of course, the Wired whitewash, the Plum Island bio threat. That's back in November 2008. Terry Sedlicek, the Illinois shooter, marked the death day down in the planer. So does that sound like something a mentally deteriorating Lyme disease suffering guy would do? I'm not sure. But Illinois church shooter's lawyer is going to blame Lyme disease. It's the Twinkie defense, if you will. Again, do your own research. Follow it. And again, as I mentioned back on episode 114, in relation to the arrest of those two Atlanta teens and the guns found, and again, the link is there for you to WBKO.com, that we're now in the prime time for mass shootings and copycats. So, from the Deutsche Press Agency, shooting spree leaves at least 10 dead in rural Alabama. Gunman killed at least 9, and again, these are the early reports, which are the important ones to get in these stories in the first 24, 48 hours. But the state police said of the Alabama shooting spree that it's a very complicated investigation that is unfolding with multiple crime scenes and a number of agencies working together. And he ain't kidding, my friends. This is the place where the Army puts soldiers in Samson, Alabama, S-A-M-S-O-N, like the Bible, with the long hair. Samson, Alabama. Army put soldiers in Samson in response to shootings. This from Kurt Nemu, and there are updates, and we will get them. The U.S. Army dispatched soldiers to patrol the streets of Samson, Alabama, a small southern town where a rampaging gunman killed 10 people. This obvious violation of the Posse Comitatus Act prohibiting the federal uniformed services from exercising state and local law enforcement was completely ignored by the corporate media, with the exception of Reuters and the London Telegraph, where we get, I believe, two photos. Another update, another mass shooting the next morning. So, Illinois shooting on Sunday, Alabama shooting on Tuesday night, Germany shooting on Wednesday morning, 17 dead after 17-year-old Germany's shooting spree. This is, of course, Timothy Kretschmer. From the Evening Standard, a gunman aged 17 went on the rampage at a German high school, murdering 10 students and 3 woman teachers. The killer took particular interest in one of the classrooms, room 10D. He went in and out of the room 3 times, asking the last time, "Are you all dead yet?" Timothy Kretschmer, K-R-E-T-S-C-H-M-E-R, who wore a black combat uniform and a gas mask, killed a total of 16 people before he was shot dead, thereby making the number 17. As I note on this, and again, this was posted up on March 10th, I wrote that unfortunately we'll probably have to cover these stories again, as we're sure to find out about the involvement of pharmaceuticals, the feds, and forewarnings, and of course that's without even mentioning the recent shootings and drills and shenanigans going on in Ireland, with links to the Times Online and Aftermath News. Moving right along to these updates, where we of course find out that they're always on drugs. They're always coming from some strange psychiatric setup. So, mass murder memes, psyop sprees, and the copycat effect, as, of course, some answers bring more questions, as mass shootings and rampaging animals are force-fed to a frazzled public. They don't call it monkey see, monkey do, or the copycat effect for nothing. Copycat effect, again, the interesting book and blog from Lauren Coleman, copycateffect.blogspot.com, some of his recent postings and articles, and again, right around this time of year, Lauren Coleman's a busy man as the copycat Manchurian meme kicks in and mass shootings and crazy things happen. However, now with the added element of strange animal run amok when animals attack memes happening. Or they are canary in the coal mine. But some of the Lauren Coleman articles recently from copycateffect.blogspot.com. Germany may ban violent video games. Be alert, of course, for the upcoming 420, April 20th. That's always the big day. Waco, Columbine, what have you. Germany school shootings, 16 dead. Alabama shootings, 12 dead. Workplace copycats, 10 years of church shootings. Fiery calamity coming, and Illinois church shooting death day. However, again, Russia Today, doing great work, they note and ask the question, has this American syndrome hit Europe? After the horror of 15 people being shot dead in German school, the focus is now turning to what could have caused the gunman to do what he did. Of course, links in there to other German school shooters, like back in 93, that's from judicial-inc.biz, and also from the BBC, and more on Timothy Kretschmer, who now has his own Wikipedia page. But here we get to it. From naturalnews.com, Germany and Alabama shootings underscore violent side effects of psychiatric medications, and now from Natural News, psychiatric drug use of German shooter confirmed. Kretschmer withdrawing from depression treatment. I don't have to go through that because you already know. But there are links to more from Natural News and Wikipedia. And finally from the Times Online, teenage killer Tim Kretschmer had stopped treatment for depression. Even more updates. Updates on the German school shooting from the lead blog on New York Times. German gunman warned of attack. That's from Al Jazeera. Germany school killer gave warning in chat room. That's from The Guardian. But no one took the German killer seriously. That's from Press TV. Police treat Germany school killer internet chat room warning as a hoax. That's from The Guardian. Cops doubt gunman chat room warning. That's from the BBC. And portrait now emerges of a troubled German gunman from the New York Times. Again, as you hit about 72 hours, the story locks into place. No, that's a hoax. No, that didn't happen. No, there weren't reports of this. Here's the story. But as we could expect, after attacks, Europe hurries to tighten gun laws. From the Associated Press, several European countries have restricted gun laws in the wake of school massacres, gang violence, and other gun-related crimes. This runs down the shit list, much like we did recently from Reuters, where we ran down all the econo-crash situations from European countries. This one runs down the list of all the countries and their mass shootings or events and how they're going to crack down on firearm ownership, because criminals will follow the gun laws. Again, there's more in there to Virginia Tech. And a lot of flashback links to MediaMonarchy.com. And again, always link to the fascinating, yet, of course, definitely anti-Zionist slant of judicial-inc.biz. But there is remarkable information I've seen no other place there, including gruesome photographs. The aftermath in Sampson, Alabama. That's again from the lead blog from New York Times. Wiki News goes over the Alabama shooting, and again, we're going to get some updates, and I believe we've discovered that, of course, the Alabama shooter, Michael McClendon, M-C-L-E-N-D-O-N, Michael McClendon, I believe was involved in some weird psychiatric operation, where they may be creating weird copycat Manchurian candidates. I know it sounds fucking crazy, but It's real.
Joe, thanks very much. We begin tonight with breaking news. A bloodbath in southern Alabama. Details are just reaching us of a shooting rampage. A lot of people dead at this hour. It happened, we know, in a pair of towns in southern Alabama, Sampson and Geneva, just north of the Florida Panhandle. You're looking, we're about to show you video just in from Sampson, where the gunman struck first. Four adults and a child dead at one residence in that town. We don't know whose residence it is at this moment. That was apparently just the beginning of the rampage. There were two more killings, two separate residences, and the gunman went to two separate businesses. Local law enforcement describing in all at least four separate shooting incidents, different locations, one eyewitnessing. At one point, the gunman was just firing at ordinary people on the street. The gunman is dead. He apparently shot himself. They're also investigating a burned-out house in the area. So far, we know 10 dead at least, including the wife and child of a local deputy and a number of others reportedly wounded. With us now on the phone is CNN's Mike Brooks, who's been following the situation, and Ken Curtis, news director at CNN affiliate WDHN. Ken, what's the latest information you're getting on the shootings? What do we know?
Latest, we're hearing 10 people dead. They are continuing to look at some other venues and possible sites, but so far they've turned up nothing else, not that this wasn't enough in itself. It's just a horrible situation. 10 dead down in a rural South Alabama county, Anderson, where nothing like this ever happened.
Mike, what do you make of these multiple shootings? Apparently, first in a residence and two other residences, and then two separate businesses.
Yeah, Anderson, apparently, I mean, we're looking at four different crime scenes. And, and two of the victims, it was a wife and a child of a Geneva County deputy sheriff. You know, what was the reason for him killing them? We don't know. Was there some history between them? We don't know that either. In fact, people are saying, what is the motive? I'm hearing from sources in Alabama right now, Anderson, that right now it looks as if the motive was possibly a job loss. We're not hearing a lot about him right now, but I'm sure as it progresses and as the investigation starts, because it's in the early stages now, we'll find out more about him.
And as if all this wasn't enough, we're also experiencing a "when animals attack" meme, kickstarted, of course, by the attack of the medicated monkey. You remember that story. That one was right alongside the octuplets lady. And again, different memes and different media ideas that are going on, and that's what we try and look at on the page. I can't say that enough. From EcoWorldly.com, elephants run amok in India due to abuse and pollution. Dog attack injures two, kills a smaller dog. That's from Channel3000.com. PlanetSave.com has "when primates attack, monkey kills abusive owner with coconut." So, following the news of a 31-year-old chimp who evidently likes to plot out attacks on his Swedish zoo visitors, that's also from PlanetSave.com, a monkey in Thailand became tired of his owner beating him and forcing him up trees to collect coconuts, so he threw one at the owner's head and killed him. And on it seems to go. Update from The Guardian. Man dressed as the Joker shot dead by police. A man dressed as the Batman villain the Joker has been shot dead by police in America after pointing a loaded shotgun at them. The dead man, who was said to be obsessed with the character, was wearing full costume and makeup when he was challenged by officers in a national park in Virginia, according to legal documents. The FBI named him as Army Specialist Christopher Lanham, L-A-N-U-M, who was wanted as a suspect over the stabbing of a fellow soldier at Fort Eustis, a major army base in the state, several hours before. Lanham's girlfriend, Patsy Ann Marie Montoski, who was with him when he was shot, told investigators that the soldier idolized the Joker, played in the most recent Batman film, The Dark Knight, by the late Heath Ledger. The events began at the base early on Sunday when Lanham became embroiled in an argument with a fellow soldier, Mitchell Stone, allegedly stabbing him and using a stun gun on him. Predictive programming, media memes.
You hear it first. You hear it first. You hear it.
Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. Columbine High School in minorities and Christians.
Bobby Thomas is pleaded not guilty in this case.
He has a court date in New York on June 24th.
Bobby Thomas is pleaded not guilty in this case.
Police say they're still looking for a third assailant.
23 students were wounded.
Chris Connolly was on the team.
23 students were wounded.
The trench coat mafia turned their guns on themselves.
Oh,
and the murderers,
the misunderstood musical enigma that is Cork.
Members of an oddball school clique made their way through the building, targeting athletes, and the murderers,
the misunderstood musical enigma that is Cork.
Turned their guns on themselves. The police say they're still looking for a third sound.
Now, it's my fantasy to be on MTV so all y'all cats can see what I can be. Now, it's my fantasy to be on MTV so all y'all cats can see what I can be. Now, it's my fantasy to be on MTV so all y'all cats can see what I can be. Now, it's my fantasy to be on MTV so all y'all cats can see what I can be. Now, it's my fantasy.
You hear it first.
All right, now I'm really going to have to step it up if we're going to get through all this wonderful, horrible news. Now to the police state international damage, drills, drug tests, and demonstrations. We had Eastern Shield 2009 running this whole week, testing emergency responses and chemical bombs in Florida. So we have at JDNews.com and WNCT.com, emergency crews converge for Eastern Shield 2009. Damage control, U.S. Army investigates deploying troops in Samson. CNSNews.com is reporting the U.S. Army has launched an investigation into the deployment of troops on the streets of Samson, Alabama, after a murder spree on March 10th. Links in there also to the flashback on MediaMonarchy.com as well as Military.com. However, the latest that I have on this is that Jerome Corsi from WorldNet Daily is reporting and confirming that Samson Police Chief Gary Weeks asked for the Army to come in from nearby Fort Rucker after the Alabama massacre. WorldNet Daily confirmed troops from Fort Rucker provided limited assistance after a request from the police chief of Samson, Alabama. The Associated Press earlier reported that the Army launched an inquiry into the use of soldiers from Fort Rucker in the town of Samson after the South Alabama shooting massacre. So many layers in there. Dangerous Japanese detergent suicide technique creeps into the U.S. That's a strange story from Threat Level. And I believe I even saw something earlier that said shamed Japanese folks are going off into the woods and disappearing and dying. Again, copycat effect, mass suicide. Mass dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. From the Associated Press, again, massive stories pouring out every day. Missouri report on militias and terrorists draws criticism. A new document meant to help Missouri law enforcement agencies identify militia members or domestic terrorists has drawn criticism for some of the warning signs mentioned. The February 20th report, called the Modern Militia Movement, mentioned such red flags as bumper stickers, Ron Paul, conspiracy theories, and the superhighway. It seems like they want to stifle political thought, said Roger Webb, president of the University of Missouri Campus Libertarians. There are a lot of third parties out there, and none of them express any violence. In fact, if you join the Libertarian Party, one of the things you sign in your membership application is that you don't support violence as a means to any end. But state law enforcement officials said the report is being misinterpreted. And again, that's the thing that says if you're a crazy conspiracy theorist, you're a terrorist. And we've seen it for the last decade, the Founding Fathers are terrorists. It's all for us. Whether it was called Heartland Security or it's Homeland Security now, it's the same thing. A nice video, nice story, again, from the fine folks of America's Wang, known as Florida. A Florida state senator wants to randomly drug test the unemployed. However, if we move to the register.co.uk, NSA is offering billions to figure out how they can eavesdrop and wiretap Skype. News of a possible viable business model for P2P VOIP network Skype emerged today, now being a few days ago, at the Counter Terror Expo in London. An industry source disclosed that America's super-secret national security agency, NSA, is offering billions to any firm which can offer reliable eavesdropping on Skype. coming soon. We lastly note an article from James Corbett at CorbettReport.com. 9/11 truth activists arrested in Canadian bush protest. And there's a video and a link and other things where, of course, recent protests greeting the old war criminal. 9/11 truth activists arrested in Canadian bush protest. Again, a great article from my man James Corbett at CorbettReport.com. Another Police State International posting, and again, we're all kind of willy-nilly. The updates came before we hit the real story, but it's all massive. Police State International, spy blimps, wireless tasers, and homeland stupidity. A quick headline note from military.com, McConnell Air Force commander found dead on base. But from Steve Watson, and again, the note of Pentagon seeking the fleet of massive DARPA spy blimps. The Pentagon has announced intentions to launch an entire fleet of a gigantic 450-foot-long airships, which will act as a massive airborne radar system, providing perpetual surveillance of vehicles, planes, and people on the ground. The Pentagon said last Thursday that it intends to spend $400 million to develop a giant dirigible that will operate on hydrogen fuel cells and solar panels floating 65,000 feet above the Earth for 10 years, reports the LA Times. And of course, our good private military contractor friends from Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman are of course involved with DARPA and the military and spying on you. Another note, another headline. From Time, German massacre raises issue of gun control in Europe, but another from Kurt Nemo, DHS proposes U.S. gun laws to fight Mexican drug cartel violence. Roger Roof, RUFE, Homeland Security's head of ops, wants to further erode the Second Amendment. Roof told lawmakers more restrictive gun control and law enforcement may be needed in the southwest United States in response to the drug war in Mexico. Which makes sense, doesn't it? Of course, now we know that the secret police say that Ron Paul and Bob Barr and Chuck Baldwin and libertarians are terrorists. Another one from Truth News, however, fleshing this whole thing out again, police trained that informed Americans are domestic terrorists. Again, this is all coming from the Missouri Information Analysis Center, MIACX.org. Cryptagon notes, and I actually saw a coworker reading the book and seeing and knowing that he's a doomer. I knew that he was reading the brand new book from Neil Strauss, Emergency, This Book Will Save Your Life. A longer note on this book from Danger Room, best-selling author Neil Strauss helped Jenna Jameson show us how to make love like a porn star. Then he taught us the finer points of attracting mates in the game, penetrating the secret society of pickup artists. Now Strauss has learned new knowledge to drop. In his just-published book, Emergency, This Book Will Save Your Life, he schools us on what to do if everything suddenly goes to hell. Strauss has spent the last several years training to become a full-fledged survivalist, learning how to live off the land with DIY weapons, homemade solar stills, debris huts, and hot-wired cars. He talks to Danger Room about how he got his skills, and in an exclusive video that is embedded and linked up but we're not going to hit, Strauss shows what to do if you really need a knife and all you have is a cigarette. The catch is you also, I believe, need a razor blade. Lastly, on this Police State International note, spy blimps, wireless tasers, and homeland stupidity, wireless tasers extend the long arm of the law. That's from NewScientist.com. Of course, new tasers, they're wireless, they go farther, they shock you ass more. But speaking of surveillance, anti-surveillance filmmaker to shoot documentary with prosthetic CCTV eye.
When I was a boy, I damaged my eye in a shotgun.
Rob Spence damaged his eye in a shooting accident as a child. 3 years ago, he had it removed. A fan of the 1970s TV series, The $6 Million Man, Spence's new technology would come to his aid. Now the documentary filmmaker is preparing to have an eye socket camera installed. Spence jokingly calls himself Eyeborg.
The eye is the most disturbing and fascinating body part that you could possibly change into a machine part, I think. Because it's so human, it's so much the person.
Originally designed for colonoscopies, the prosthetic eye camera will be able to record the same images his working eye sees. moving side to side just like his real eye does. The plan to use the implant to film his next documentary and hopes it will yield the intimacy only eye contact can achieve.
We're always looking for a more accurate depiction of the human experience, whether it be acting or photography or anything else. So if I'm able to interview somebody and they don't know I'm interviewing them, and moreover, I can achieve that magical kind of eye contact that is a big part of connecting with the person, then I think I have a very special piece of film.
The filming people without their knowledge brings up a host of legal and ethical issues.
Well, reporter speaking, I want other people to know when I'm interviewing them that I am a reporter. Like for this kind of thing, I would know also with Mr. Ibot that he's interviewing me with his eye. But in the street it's different. Other people don't know that he's there with a camera. That can cause sometimes problems.
Spence is keenly aware of the issues, as well as the thousands of surveillance cameras popping up in cities across the world. He says the documentary will turn the focus of his eye camera on all those other cameras and watch the watcher.
It's sort of an exploration of privacy. And it's interesting, I would like to focus on what are the issues of privacy and surveillance out there. But I find that the closer I get to putting this camera eye in, the more freaked out people are by me.
Ben says his bionic eye will turn him into a human surveillance machine. But he's okay with that thought, as his work has the potential to take filmmaking to the next level. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
That story is just too amazing to pass up. And again, there's a video and, of course, more from Russia Today and iBorgBlog.com, as well as TechRadar.com. Anti-surveillance filmmaker to shoot a documentary with his prosthetic CCTV eyeball. Now we do note the two that were arrested in the FBI raid in Obama appointee's office. And again, can't do it justice. We have to hurry. Two arrested in FBI raid at Obama appointee's office. D.C. official and contractor arrested in bribery sting. From Raw Story, the office of the District of Columbia's chief technology officer was raided by federal agents Thursday morning. As part of a federal bribery sting. The Washington Post reports that Yusuf Acar, 40 years old, that's Yusuf Acar, aged 40, was taken into custody by the FBI at his home in Northwest Washington. Acar previously worked under Vivek Kundra, President Obama's appointee as federal chief information officer. There was another arrest made today, and again, I can't do all this justice. Vivek Kundra went on a little bit of official leave while they're hoping the heat dies down. So again, you have these strange busts happening with the folks that have or will or were going to surround the Obamasiah. Sir Kennedy, Obama, the Constitution, and the Crown, we note the strange situation of Ted Kennedy being given this honor, being given this title of nobility, but is it a violation of the Constitution? That interesting question and the confrontation with Christopher Dodd was done by the guy that runs braininflation.wordpress.com. Sir Kennedy in violation of the Constitution? Barack Anaten is going to meet Queen Elizabeth Beast in April, when, of course, all the world leaders are at the G20 in London on April 2nd. Brace yourself for, of course, international terror, where they can all grandstand and call for something. In this new case, it's not going to be planes into buildings. It's probably going to be all the money out of your wallet. And again, links to videos from Google, more to read about the upcoming G20 from the Independent, and of course we recently had Gordon New World Order Brown stopping by to check out his colony. Alex Jones has released The Amazing Obama Deception. I can't add anything more to it that hasn't already been said about it. I'm making copies in the other room of the lower-res AVI file that I have that fills up a CDR, and I'm just burning off copies of those, and you can throw it in a DVD player or a computer, and it'll work for just about anybody. My high-quality DVD is in the mail. The Obama Deception is a fantastic bit of polemic documentary filmmaking, and I think it is going to be highly effective. That's all I got to say about it. And we'll note from the Washington, or rather the Wall Street Journal, that Obama's poll numbers are falling to earth. Of course, as we note, as they said, Biden and Albright and Powell and a whole lot of them all said generated crises are going to come soon and we're going to make hard decisions and it's not going to look like we're doing the right thing. But stay with us, you fake grassroots mass. Of course, always noting that Clinton wasn't doing really well in office and none of his policies were going really well. And then Waco, or then rather Murrah Building, Oklahoma City. Bush wasn't doing too well. He was maybe taking too many vacations and he was having some trouble with his appointees and policy and they just weren't staying on message. And then boom, 9/11 happened. Obama is in and all the financial situation's a little rough, man. And maybe he should have gone on Leno, you know. Boom. Boom. We'll make a quick note of the South by Southwest, where another new documentary. And again, we've played the trailer from The Obama Deception, and we've also played the trailer from New World Order. That is the new documentary from a couple of guys named Meyer and Neal. There are so many links posted up under NWO Festivals, Deception, Documentaries, and Censorship. We got New World Order Illuminates Conspiracy Theorists from Wired. We've got a podcast with Alex Jones from GreenScene.com. That's GreenCine. It might be Green Cinna, like cinema. They did an interview with Alex Jones. There is also an independent film channel video, Everyday Conspiracies with Alex Jones. Five, or rather six, seemingly innocuous everyday objects. That's a whole video for you there. Christian YouTube censored the Obama deception. They called it slander and liable. They misspelled libel, L-I-B-E-L, which of course we note that you probably shouldn't accuse something of someone you can't fucking spell, tangle.com. And finally, from riseuprochester.org, a great review of the Obama deception. And again, we'll probably keep repeating and keep returning to that again as it's stirring it up. Stirring it up, as is evidenced by the article from Politico.com, Bilderbergers excite conspiracists, but as I note, of course, not the coincidentalists. But InfoWars notes that CBS News picked up the article originally posted by Politico.com on the Bilderberg group. And we, of course, have to wonder why now they're starting to talk about the Bilderbergs after years of that doesn't exist and you're a kook. But, of course, we all called out ahead of time that most of the folks that were at the Bilderberg meeting in Chantilly last year were going to become cabinet appointees, like the current recent case of Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius. She is, of course, on the official 2008 Bilderberg participant list with a link for you. Flashback, of course, to Obama SIA updates Bilderberger Brzezinski and billions from February 2009. Moving quickly to more Obama SIA updates, it's a downhill dictatorship with definitions and detainments. The Bulletin notes an op-ed piece from thebulletin.us, President Obama is a fraud you can believe in. And you can also download the White House's new Arrow of Responsibility, a.k.a. Get Ready to Suffer. Obama is pushing the U.S. economy down a hill. And that's another interesting, fascinating report from Russia Today. Obama's policy is pushing the U.S. economy downhill, says Vice President of the Conservative Business and Media Institute, Dan Gaynor. And that's businessandmedia.org. Obama, of course, is killing the economy. Or, at least, someone's pulling his strings and helping him along.
Now, the U.S. president has signed his first government spending bill worth $410 billion. Barack Obama himself called the document imperfect but necessary. Now, Dan Gaynor, vice president of the Conservative Business and Media Institute, says Obama's policy is pushing the U.S. economy downhill.
A lot of economists say that you can't spend your way out of overspending. So it's like a drowning man throwing water to a drowning man. So he's getting criticism from both the left and the right. And if you look at the stock market, although it's rallied the last 2 days, the stock market has dropped more than 16% since he took over, and even more since he was elected. And we know we have a global economic issue right now. And so he's out there doing all sorts of things that have no relation to the economic issue. And he's pushing very strong, big government left-wing policies. And that's why he's getting a lot of pushback from conservatives. He talks about redistributing the wealth, which, I mean, I think you know better than I, is pretty classic socialist terminology. Everything he's doing right now is curtailing the ability for companies to make profit. He's talking about cap-and-trade plans and other plans that are going to really raise taxes on ordinary Americans and increase the size of government to an epic degree. And that's one of the reasons why Jim Cramer, I think he said it best, he's seeing greater wealth destruction from this president than he's ever seen from any president.
A link from Global Research and even an embedded player for you to listen to a recent episode of Guns and Butter with Michelle Chosedovsky. Obama budget will impoverish the U.S. Future of Freedom Foundation, FFF.org, writes why the U.S. under Obama is still a dictatorship. Obama administration withdraws enemy combatant definition. That's from Think Progress, and that's shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. So we can change the names all we want, but of course, as noted in numerous places, of course, the president, and that's Obama, still has the authority to detain anyone. Obama creates food safety group. That's from the Washington Times. Obama last Saturday created a food safety working group to advise him on new rules and tools to protect the U.S. food supply and tapped two folks to serve at the top of the FDA. We brace for that. Quickly moving through more. Now it's the Ocana crash, and now it's problem reaction solution. As we see, this generated financial New World Order crisis going on all around us right now, and all the bonus outrage. Of course, it's important to note that Obama received more than $100,000 from AIG. That's from Examiner.com, and that is from OpenSecrets.org, where I noted early last year, as Obama was looking like he was going to take it, that he got the most money from Goldman Sachs. I was telling you that a year ago. Rage swells at AIG as the bonuses go out. That's from the Washington Post. Some AIG workers to offer to return incendiary bonuses. However, all that blah-bitty-blah is cut through by Steve Watson. Misdirected bailout rage sets the stage for new financial world order. Let's confiscate Hank Greenberg's wealth. That's from Portfolio.com. Experts from, quoted by the ArmyTimes.com, say that the financial crisis threatens our national security. Links in there to the Armed Services Senate Committee hearing. U.S. could use crisis to wage financial warfare. That's from Danger Room. Kremlin to pitch new currency at the upcoming G20 meeting. That's from the Moscow Times. The Kremlin published its priorities this recent Monday for an upcoming meeting of the G20, calling for the creation of a supranational reserve currency to be issued by international institutions as part of a reform of the global financial system. One world currency. We note Paul Adolf Volcker. From the trilaterals, from the Carter administration, from the Brzezinski wing, now back again with the Obama-saya, Volcker and the mother of all financial crises. And lastly, on this econocrash problem reaction solution note, Gary Franchi of Restore the Republic and Lone Lantern and America Freedom to Fascism somehow made it on KBDI Channel 12 in Colorado, I believe. Colorado 9/11 visibility volunteers and others somehow got tons of 9/11 and In the Fed Truth on PBS. Gary Franchi exposes the Federal Reserve on PBS. Another person, of course, getting lots of coverage, as always, the Honorable Dr. Ron Paul, where 95% of the time he is dead on. And here he is again on CNN. This is funny. It's him and Stephen Baldwin and Joy Behar. And there was weird little technical... I don't know if... Basically, Ron Paul didn't know exactly what they were talking about. And then when he finally figures it out, he's like, oh, that bullshit. Members of Congress like to guzzle booze, but when it comes to the questions of drugs and states' rights, don't ask them for a friendly ear. And that's the overriding message carried by Texas Republican Congressman Ron Paul last Friday with Stephen Baldwin, with Joy Behar sitting in for Larry King. Now, I don't believe we're going to hear the part where they talk about Congress likes to drink lots of alcohol. But we know that they do, but they don't have the balls to legalize marijuana, at least not yet.
I'm sorry, over the what?
Over the photo, the Michael Phelps photo. What was your reaction to all of that? What happened with Michael Phelps? I mean, he basically lost a lot of
Phelps. Well, the whole thing, I think, is a mess. It's outrageous. I think we're getting carried away with the whole war on drugs. That's how silly the whole thing gets. Drugs are very dangerous, but there's a lot of things that's very dangerous. The question is who should regulate danger? Should we assume responsibility for ourselves, or should the government take care of us? And I don't believe in the nanny state. If you do have regulations and laws, they should be at the state level, not at the federal level. We didn't even have a federal law until 1937, and here we are. We have spent hundreds of billions of dollars in a very unsuccessful attempt to regulate drugs, and you have all these weird examples. That's one example you mentioned, but what about a person dying with cancer goes out and uses marijuana when it is legalized in a particular state like California, and the feds come in and arrest them? I mean, there's so much violation there of common decency and the Constitution, and it makes no sense. The drug war is a total failure, and the federal drug war ought to be revisited and, for the most part, gotten rid of.
Another one from Raw Story, this one bringing it home to me, and I swiped the clip that you're going to hear from, I believe, K2 News here in Oregon, put up to youtube.com/MediaMonarchy, socialize it. Oregon may grow, tax, and sell medical pot.
First on two now, the state of Oregon may be getting into the drug business, growing and selling marijuana to over 23,000 medical marijuana patients.
KQ-Salem Bureau Chief Melika Johnson joins us live from the state capitol with why they're looking to do this, Melika.
Well, oddly, a group of staunch Republicans and Democrats agree on this one, that the state needs to get involved for the safety of medical marijuana patients to ensure the drug isn't laced and that these patients aren't selling the drug to others. Stormy Ray uses medical marijuana to relieve the symptoms of MS, and she is very much against the state selling her the medicine she can currently grow in her own home.
Most patients, they have their gardens. They keep their confidentiality. There's not a lot of trafficking going on.
But a group of bipartisan lawmakers, including Representative Ron Maurer, want the state to do the growing, distributing, and the taxing. One way, they say, to curb illegal sales.
We don't treat any other drug like this, and if it is going to be treated like a drug, then we need to put some controls on it.
The plan would send state-grown pot from one centralized growing center to local pharmacies. The trade-off? No more home growing.
They won't be able to stop it.
While Dr. Philip Levesque, who's prescribed medical marijuana for roughly 5,000 Oregonians, doesn't think it will stop home growing, he says it will keep illegal sales of the drug down.
Most of the money is going to the criminals. That's crazy. The state ought to be gaining.
Under the plan, the state would charge $98 for every ounce of marijuana. This is roughly 1 ounce of medical marijuana. Experts say the average patient uses about three times this amount a month. Currently, homegrown marijuana costs a patient roughly $75 a month to grow. Under the state plan, patients would pay around $300 a month.
That's $300.
Whoa, that was going to affect the people that right now are being the most abused.
And what she means by abuse is that the people who need medical marijuana won't be able to afford it at the cost the state would be charging, when they can either grow it or they can get it from a licensed grower for free. Back to you.
So, Melika, will the state make any money off this above paying for the cost of growing and distributing it?
It would make some revenue under this plan. 5% of the revenue would go to the county where this growing center is located, and 2.5% of the revenue would go to the nearest city. That's to incentivize those municipalities for accepting this growing operation in their backyard.
All right, Malcolm Johnson, thank you.
Many links and many differing takes on this story. Is it the feds seizing marijuana from us that they shouldn't have the right to say any fucking thing about in the first fucking place? or is this a good thing and step in a positive direction? The flashback link to July 2008 on MediaMonarchy.com. Oregon initiative would allow pot sales in liquor stores. Quickly wrapping up, here are some of the latest episodes from some of my favorite alternative news shows, like episode 78 and 79 from Corbett Report. Episode 78 was a little sneaky extra from James Corbett, where he posted up the entire audio of Alex Jones' new documentary, The Obama Deception. However, the real new episode, not to diminish the Obama Deception, but the real new original Corbett Report episode 79, Biting Into the Core, takes a sneak peek into the upcoming new documentary series, perhaps, CoreOfCorruption.com. Great interviews, and you should check out the entire interview on CorbettReport.com with Jonathan Elenoff. Fascinating, well-spoken guy. CoreOfCorruption.com. Which brings us to the end, which brings us to MK Agriculture Part 2, Mood Poisoning in the New Food Order, the latest episode that I have from March 9th from Clyde Lewis and the Ground Zero Lounge. MK Agriculture 2.
Let's start off by doing a little bit of review. Last week we revisited a new outcry in eugenics of genome 666, the subject of breeding and feeding, and how this trilateral commission was created, partly to create a new international economic order. Its current statement has morphed into fostering a closer cooperation among these core democratic industrialized areas of the world who share leadership responsibilities in the wider international system. The global plan for all countries is to live on the level of third world nations. Economic sustainability can be achieved through a process known as endgame strategies, and we talked about the endgame strategies, which include controls on ecological systems, also controls on your food, your water, the air, and I'm not kidding when I say air, it's weird. The agenda would severely limit water, electricity, and transportation. Even denying human access to our most treasured wilderness areas, they would monitor all lands and people through tracking, scientific measures, biometrics, and of course, as we talked about last week, eugenics, which the directives are coming down, and you start seeing the processes take place in these genetic stories and your internet food stories. These are not by coincidence. These are happening by design. It's to keep you aware and on your toes about global sustainability. Global warming is what they call it. Global sustainability is the reality. Whether or not we keep 6 to 9 billion people on this planet, whether or not we have to reduce the population in order to keep this planet sustainable. Now, if we have anything tonight, by the way, if you have anything you want to add to the conversation, we have two microphones, one over here and one over here. You have anything to say. Sometimes I can't hear you from the audience. I'd rather you come up to the microphone and talk about it. If you want to debate with anyone, you debate with them. Also, Jeff is here to answer any of your questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions, because this is a lot of stuff, a lot of heavy stuff that we cover. So keep that in mind. As we see food shortages happening in the world and concerns over hunger here in the United States, consumer confidence has dropped to 20%. And as food sources from pet food, different formula, and peanut butter have been contaminated with chemicals and bacteria, more and more people are losing confidence in foods they eat. I mean, one thing like peanut butter is going to scare everyone, especially peanut butter that has been shipped out and basically kept bad for a longer period of time, and how people have gotten sick from eating it, and how a lot of people didn't know it was because they were eating contaminated food. We see a declining crops, we mentioned, with the Arnold Schwarzenegger declaring a disaster area in California. Crops would be very expensive once we find out just what the drought is going to do to them. That's why Governor Schwarzenegger has declared an emergency. Not just that, but we got to also think about insect infiltrations. We need to think about money that is being used to transport these goods and whether or not it's cost-effective to do so. You know, a lot of food can sit in rotten warehouses for long periods of time because no one can deliver it. And so we need to also take that into consideration. And there's going to be a lot of things happening. We remember a long time ago with Katrina, how ConAgra had a hard time moving their foods across the Mississippi after Katrina happened. A lot of those foods went back. And we're starting to see a lot of economic slowdowns because of food shortages and food problems. We talked about this years ago. It's now happening. You hear the thunder in the distance, and you know the storm is coming, and this is why you're here at Ground Zero Lounge to prepare you for this, so you are not, you're not sidetracked. You're not taken by surprise and saying, I didn't know this was going to come. What I'm supposed to do? Well, you prepare. You start preparing with food, you start preparing with water, you start preparing with whatever, just growing your own if you can, as long as they don't outlaw road gardens.
The latest from Clyde Lewis in the Ground Zero Lounge, MK Agriculture 2, Mood Poisoning in the Food World Order, which of course reminds me to tell you about foodworldorder.com. And again, check out episode 115 and 100 of MediaMonarchy.com for two fun and informative and fascinating interviews with my man Clyde Lewis. That's going to do it for this B-side episode of 115 of Media Monarchy and putting to bed the weekly B-sides for Media Monarchy. We're going to try and get our house in order here. And I want to try and focus on giving you some more interviews and some new video work. So keep an eye out for good things. Trying to do it all, trying to keep it all together. It boggles the mind sometimes. But I just appreciate the help and the thanks and the support. So whether it's KBFR or Free Radio Olympia or the Portland Radio Authority or the Revere Radio Network or RockCreekFreePress.com or anybody and everybody on MySpace and Facebook and Twitter and the YouTube channel, all that stuff, all the social networks, all the tools are all just to spread the word about what the fuck is going down here. Quickly, let's look at some of the creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. We again had the Army Recreation Machine at a West Point. We had the California State University. Somebody there, Google, Obama overturns coffin ban. Maternal Fetal Associates out of Leesburg, Virginia. Hit me up from a link on BlacklistedNews.com. The Evansville Water and Sewer Utility out of Indiana Googled AIG Top Brass Space Aliens. Southern Alberta Institute of Technology in Calgary, Canada, Googled Reuter. Clinton unveils clothing sweatshop pact online, HTML, Internet, 16 April 1997. However, the National Institute of Standards and Technology out of Gaithersburg, Maryland, Googled NIST, 1204. The Drug Enforcement Administration. The DOD Network Information Center out of Columbus, Ohio. They hit me up from a strange message board. ConocoPhillips out of Bartlesville, Oklahoma, Googled Janet Napolitano, Obama's Chief of Homeland Security, refuses to call terrorists terrorists. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services out of Baltimore, Googled FBI arrested Obama's Chief of Information. Someone at the U.S. House of Representatives out of Manassas, Virginia, Googled Miltech Research and Technology Investigation. The CDC, the United States Centers for Disease Control out of Atlanta, we're reading about KBR subcontractor holding 1,000 or 8,000 workers in an Iraq warehouse. Clean Harbors Environmental out of Norwell, Massachusetts, Googled state of mass arrest. Repeated visits from J.P. Morgan Chase. Out of New York City, out of Columbus, Ohio, but the interesting time, somebody at J.P. Morgan Chase in New York City, New York, Googled Natasha Richardson Illuminati Bloodline. We had the Department of Homeland Security out of Springfield, Virginia, Google DHS NMEC, and finally we had the Pentagon out of Washington, D.C., reading about military corruption, generals nuked, and photos altered. News, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. All here for you, all the time, on MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, Particulation.com, and any other thing I can manage to do to get the word out. Like my man Webster Tarpley says, you better get active or get radioactive, and like I'm going to say to you here on this first day of spring, March 20th, 2009, that we better watch out, like at the beginning, for the heavy and stormy weather, and now watch out for the black clouds. Take care.
I love you. explain it to me.
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
On my track.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.